to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again for another NXT TakeOver review. TakeOver Portland was earlier tonight, actually last night at this point. We're now into Thursday morning for me. Had a little baby shower I had to go to, not the most proud moment ever, but had to support the friends, so I had to show up to the baby shower. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it is at TheCO Place to Go. Same thing on Twitch, but mainly on Twitter at TheCO Place to Go. You can follow me, you can write some comments, you could give your thoughts on the show. You know, I had somebody the other day just tell me that it sounds like I'm always talking quiet or always being, talking low. I think that's a product of my setup right now. I have a nice mixing board. It's a four-input mixer with, different microphones and different things like that. That one, since I've moved, and we're talking in May, it worked in April. I haven't been able to get it to work properly. I haven't been able to reconnect it to the computer that I currently use. That is partially the problem. So what I'm using, one of the blue Snowballs. The Snowball is a fantastic mic, but I think with connecting that directly to Audacity, not going through a mixer where I can change levels and things like that, is a little bit of an issue. But other than that, I promise I'm trying to give you guys the best every week that I can. And appreciate at the underscore WWE underscore podcast. That's where you can follow them on Twitter. Obviously, you know that, and they're available on all the different podcasting sites where you can listen to shows, and we very much appreciate you listening to the shows. This week in WWE, well, being that we covered a show on Wednesday with the NXT TV show on the 12th, happy Valentine's Day to everybody since then. Also, something on Friday on SmackDown. I love The Fiend, okay? I love the Firefly Funhouse. I've always thought Bray Wyatt is a brilliant mind. Puts a lot in the business. He offers a lot, and I think in a mental standpoint. Now, I know this may be going way back, but I feel like someone like Bray Wyatt has the ability to kind of have that Jake the Snake Roberts mentality, like the ring psychology and that type of thing. I just wish his body of work in the ring. I wish he gets hurt often. He gets his pushes end quickly. He never would win on feuds. When the Wyatt family, when did they win? Like, honestly, when did they ever win? I don't think they did. I don't think the Wyatts really came out on top of anything other than maybe one match here or there. He had a nice segment though. Like last week, he had Bill Goldberg on. Telling The Fiend that he was next. And you had Hogan on this week saying about how the talking about the match with Goldberg, and how he used to feel the power, and The Fiend comes on and did some of the old school NWO music, old school NWO following is paid for, but instead of by the New World Order, is the Firefly Funhouse. Firefly Funhouse News was on and things like that. So I thought it was fantastic. Great segment. Other than that, SmackDown did absolutely nothing for me this week. I saw bits and pieces of it, nothing special, but it definitely wasn't a show to watch. This week's birthday, I'm going to go through that real quick and get into the actual takeover. The birthday was Gangrel. Gangrel turned 51. I was actually mind blown. He looks older than 51 to me. I thought he was over in his 60s, but he is 51. To me, he had one of the best entrances ever. I mean, I used to terrify my sister playing that music with the lights out in the house. Like, I would just be, blasting that music. And I always used that entrance style for the Brood in video games. So I would create characters in the old school WWE games, and I would use his character, his music, his theme, even the video. I would sometimes just use the video and the music. It was fantastic. Speaking of the Brood, I mean, that's where, to me, Edge and Christian really took off and were brought to the forefront. And then they ended up breaking off with Gangrel. He was never a champ in WWE, but he still randomly wrestles indies to this day. I know he did live very close to where I grew up in Florida when he was married to Luna Vachon in the early 2000s, I want to say. Late 90s, early 2000s. But never a champion. You know, one of those guys where he didn't need to be a champion to get his point across, you know, because he was the type of dude who could have you in his fingertip or in his palm, like the palm of his hand, and wrapped around his finger if you know he really wanted to, literally based on entrance and I guess scariness level. I don't know if that's the right word, but scariness level alone. Personally, I think he was absolutely amazing. He was a great guy and a perfect first time. That character I don't think would work today. But, you know, Gangrel, 51. All right, so next we're going to go over some of my predictions from last week. So on Wednesday, I think I did this 2 weeks ago as well, but on Wednesday I gave some predictions. There wasn't anything on the pre-show that I'm personally aware of. If there was, I completely missed it. Like I said, I was at a baby shower. You know, let me check really quick. I know Poppy did the... intro. Other than that, I'm pretty sure there was nothing. Yeah, there was nothing on the pre-show. So, you know, in thinking about, they use Poppy a lot, actually. Poppy is kind of like their go-to when it comes to intros. So, you know, there's no particular order in these predictions that I had last week. So I'm going to go through really quickly and let you know what my predictions are for tonight, and then we'll see how it goes. Rhea Ripley, I had her winning with some Charlotte Flair interference, which I think is going to set up a triple threat. Now, that is something, obviously, all this stuff, I know what happens during the show, but, you know, if you want to listen last week, this is exact copies of what I said. Finn Balor picking up the win over Gargano. Undisputed Era picking up the win because, you know, I felt there'd be some dissension in the Broserweights. Tommaso Ciampa getting the win, but I also said it wouldn't surprise me if Adam Cole got the win, setting up a huge WrestleMania moment for Tommaso Ciampa. Dakota Kai said needs the win. I think with Tegan Nox beating her last time, if you're going to continue this feud, she's got to get the win one way or another. And that's in a street fight, so it's not like there can be a DQ or anything. And then Keith Lee getting the win. Like, you can't have Keith Lee lose. And I felt the same way about Rhea Ripley. You can't have Rhea Ripley lose after coming off such a strong showing. You know, and I'll talk more about Rhea Ripley after. Let's get into the actual event. To me, this started off pretty hot. Okay, I thought it was fantastic. The North American Championship match was first. You get Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. These guys, I think, they've had a couple draws. They've each won one. You know, if you look at it, if you look in a best of five series, if that's what you want to put it at, this would have been match five. They each got a win. They had two draws based on interference, one of them by Roderick Strong, I believe. So this is going to be your... You know, this is going to be your blow-off match, I would assume, between these two guys. They were an interesting tag team when they tagged around War Games time and things like that. I mean, a very dominant tag team had they been put together in the Dusty Classic. Obviously, if their directions, if Keith Lee's direction was going that way, they would have been unstoppable. There would have been no Broserweights. There would have been no Kushida and Alex Shelley, who I really hope we see Alex Shelley again soon. But this was an interesting match. I mean, for me, I thought it was a great opening match. I've seen a lot of people complain, you know, as this was going kind of live, because, you know, you can see people's reactions to the different matches as you go on Twitter. And a lot of people complained. They said the match was too slow and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good opener, blah, blah, blah. Here's my opinion on that. A lot of NXT shows and a lot of takeovers have a guy like Finn Balor or your cruiserweights or, you know, much quicker, more athletic. I'm going to use that term loosely because both these guys are very athletic, but more agile type of wrestlers. They usually start the show. Show comes out quick and hot. This one, I think it came out hot, but it came out as two huge guys who were facing off with each other. And I really, truly think that it was a awesome opening match because there was still athleticism. There were a lot of falls. The crowd was hot the whole time, chanting Bask in his glory for significant portions of the match. But I feel the only difference was there weren't a lot of flips. There weren't a lot of, you know, it wasn't a high-flying type thing. You know, it was more strength. But, I mean, honestly, there were a lot of near falls. There was never a time that I personally felt that Dijakovic was going to win. I just didn't feel that Keith Lee would lose the belt. So, I mean, Keith Lee does pick up the win. It was about a 20-minute match. I'll be 100% honest with you. This whole takeover, for me, almost every match got a 3.5. I think every match did get a 3.5 up rating. I think it was a fantastic show. It was in my opinion, it was about a 4-star show. About as good as you're going to get, 4 out of 5. You know, Dijakovic, like I said, did lose in 20 minutes. You know, to me, for if this is going to be the blow-off of their feud, it was absolutely perfect. I think both of them hadn't been given a fair shot in terms of being able to have a lot of singles matches on takeovers. They've been involved in a lot of tag teams or multi-man matches. I think it was absolutely fantastic. They both had time to shine. You know, and for me, Keith Lee, you know, right now, obviously he's not in the main event scene. He is a champion, though, and I think the sky's the limit for him. And Dijakovic showed me something. I'm going to be, then I'm going to leave this match on that one. Dijakovic, since War Games, I think he was really high. Like, he was really big on War Games. When it came to Survivor Series, so-so. He kind of started to fall back, and since then, I have not been impressed with any of his matches. So it was really nice to see a good match, and of course, a lot of it could be Keith Lee. But these two guys work extremely well together, and very, very pleased with how this match came out. So the next match we have is the street fight between Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. And if you guys have been listening to this, watching NXT, you know kind of how this this feud has gone. It started at War Games. Actually started earlier the week of War Games when Mia Yim was picked instead of Dakota Kai as the you know, the final team member of Team Ripley. Which I, you know, originally I thought that that was a bad idea. I wasn't super high on Mia Yim, you know. I think she's okay, but I think Dakota Kai's better and would have been better in that spot. But what it did was it got to set up the match, and Mia Yim getting taken out of that match and Dakota Kai coming in set up this feud, and I think it's been an absolutely fantastic feud. You know, and they pick their spots. That's the one thing with NXT, because you do have your 2-hour show. You have, you know, little backstage segments where it sets things up. But what they've done is, like a lot of these NXT feuds, you know, you don't have to see it every week. You know, you could take a week off with some of the feuds, like some of the main event feuds or guys Undisputed Era, you know, guys like that. You're going to have them on every week. But other things like Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. Tegan Nox was off for about 3 weeks after that, you know, selling the injuries. And, you know, I think it sets up the feud well. Now, this street fight began before the actual match began. I mean, Dakota Kai attacked Tegan Nox during her entrance, and they brawled into the crowd. I thought it was fantastic. Eventually, they come back into the ring. You know, I think that being that the feud was what it was, and there's been a lot of, you know, attacks after matches and pre-match and backstage and things like that, I think it was absolutely fantastic the way it was set up. This match, for me, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5, which is kind of strong. Because I wasn't, I think that last match I was like a 2.5. Like, I just wasn't really high on that match. You know, all of this stuff, like with the different things that they do, there was so much emotion and so much effort put into, you know, selling the feud in general. I think the fact that it was a street fight is the only way that it's going to work between them. I think potentially they maybe have a blow off. Is it at TakeOver Tampa? I don't know if that's a strong enough match to have on that card, but maybe like a Last Man Standing match. I mean, a street fight is fantastic, but a Last Man Standing match or Iron Woman, you know, like one of those type things, something that lasts. Neither one of them, I feel, are top of the women's division in NXT. I really don't. Like, you know, there's too many people above them, so I feel like they're perfectly placed in the middle card to where they can do this. That's why I don't think they're going to get a huge match at a WrestleMania portion. You know what? And let me break off for a second. the WrestleMania, like I said, I'm going to miss WrestleMania. I'm going to miss TakeOver. I will not be able to do any reviews or anything like that for a few days, quite a few days after. And then later in the month of April, I'm going to be missing a TakeOver two or a week's, just an NXT event. So there's a couple that I'm going to miss, and I'm really upset about the whole, you know, WrestleMania weekend. You know, not just NXT, but WrestleMania in general. As I've said for the last couple weeks, I'm hoping The Undertaker comes back. I would love to see him at his best, you know, protected, of course, because obviously his best days are far behind him. Yeah, it's just one of those I'm going to miss. And back into this, this is about a 15-minute match or so. I just don't know if this gets that huge stage. But I think the story is quite there. The feud is quite set. Towards the end, you had Raquel Gonzalez, who she's been in the Mae Young Classic before. I don't know too much else about her. And Tegan Nox was getting ready to absolutely demolish Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai was laying on a table. She put a chair around her neck. Classic, like, Brian Pillman, Steve Austin type situation where you put her on an ankle. Do that type thing. And Raquel Gonzalez attacked Tegan Nox. Kind of, I don't want to say knocked her out, but, you know, you have Dakota Kai gets pushed off the table. Now, Raquel Gonzalez goes for some version of a chokeslam. Chokeslam powerbomb type combo off the top, throws Tegan Nox down in. Now, the table did not break. She hit at a strange angle to where I think the majority of her weight pushed down on the table, so it fell. So it was a pretty stiff hit. Dakota Kai gets the cover and the win. I thought it was a great match. Didn't know if there would be any type of interference, especially not from somebody we're not, you know, huge, like, I shouldn't say huge on, but not that we don't know who's there every week. Thought maybe if anyone came down, it'd be Candice LeRae. I do think this sets up some type of a tag team situation, Candice LeRae and Tegan Nox versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai, but what is the relationship there? It could be just a one-off. It could be I'm in it for whatever works for me from Raquel Gonzalez. She might be friends with Dakota Kai today, and then, you know, next week, it's going to be nothing. But like I said, this match got a 3.5 out of 5. Strong match, definitely better than the last match that they had between the two of them. And it was perfect after what I thought was a really good beginning match into what the next one is. I thought it was fantastic. Next match we have is what I thought could be the match of the night. It was Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano, and I'm going to be 100% honest. It did not disappoint. For me, you know, this match got a 4.25 to 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, Finn Balor's record alone at TakeOver, he's 9-1. Do you expect him to lose? Probably not. His only loss came when he lost the belt. I believe it was to Joe, if I'm not mistaken. I thought this match was awesome. This was close to a 30-minute match. They did, you know, I mean, there were John Woos all over the place. There was Pele kicks. There was, you know, there was everything that you would expect from this. You know, of course he gets the double stomp. You know, it was their coup de grace, I guess I should call it. I thought this match was awesome. This was great for TakeOver. The intensity, they look like they actually hated each other. It was very similar to Gargano Ciampa in the sense of the intensity and the emotion between the two wrestlers who were in it, which, you know, is great. I mean, it tells an awesome story. The feud was, this has been set up now for, 2 months? And, you know, it just, I think it was great. I think this ends the feud? I think it moves both of them on different directions. You know, obviously Finn Balor's Finn Balor. And then, of course, you know, you want to talk about Johnny Wrestling, Johnny TakeOver. Johnny Gargano was all of the above in this match. Gargano was a great, you know, baby face in this, you know, and I just think how it was, the heat of this hatred between the two from the feud was absolutely fantastic. I don't want to go too much into this match because this is a match you need to see. This one, and there's one other one that I think truly stand out on this card that are must-sees. Like I said, nothing's going to get below a 3.5. out of five. This one, like I said, 4.25 to 4.5. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It's a must-watch match. Finn Balor gets the win. Like I said, close to 30 minutes, but it was an absolutely fantastic match. And you know, the way this feud works, where this elevates everybody, I think this puts Balor into the title picture, no matter who wins the title later on. And I just think that, you know, it puts triple threat, fatal four. I mean, it's looking like those could be locks for TakeOver. Or who knows, maybe even a WrestleMania match. Next match you have is the NXT Women's match, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. And, I mean, tough spot to be in right after the match with Gargano and Balor. It was just tough. To me, this match at best was a 3.5 out of 5. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 just because of what happened after. Bianca Belair, I think has been great. I mean, Triple H even said, you know, if you talked to me 6 months ago, I don't know if she would be in this position. You know, just the growth that she's had, and I truly agree. Like, Bianca Belair put on a show in the Women's Rumble. You know, and I know that that's set up, and you know, in terms of storyline, it was put that way to look strong and to go into this match with Rhea Ripley, and it was fantastic. It was about a 15-minute match. The fact that I said earlier when I did the predictions, the two people that I didn't think could possibly lose being Rhea Ripley and Keith Lee. Keith Lee did not lose. This was another one. Like, I don't really feel Bianca Belair was in a position to potentially win. I thought if she did win, it would be due to interference, like I said, with Charlotte Flair, which that did not happen necessarily. Rhea Ripley, you know, hit the riptide for the win, like I said, in almost 15 minutes. You know, both of these girls busted their asses. They had a great match. I really, really feel Rhea Ripley looked strong as champion. Bianca Belair was, you know, put on a great showing. I think, obviously, you have the potential WrestleMania feud, which we're going to talk about in a second. You know, right after the match, Rhea celebrating in the ring. Charlotte attacks her from behind, accepts the match at Mania, hits her with a natural selection, poses with the belt. Bianca Belair ended up getting taken out, I believe, by Charlotte Flair on the outside as well. To me, that saved the match. It kind of put into perspective exactly where they're going. Now, does it turn into a triple threat like I thought it might? I thought there'd be a little bit of interference. There was not. So I don't know if it's going to be a triple threat. Does Bianca Belair go away? I don't know. I think Charlotte will end up having a match with Bianca between now and then. I think that might set her up to go through Belair to get to, even though she already won. I mean, she's facing Rhea Ripley regardless, so it doesn't matter. But I think there might be some type of match there, and I would love to see how Bianca Belair comes out with that. Rhea Ripley, to me, looks strong still. Will she beat Charlotte at WrestleMania? That would be a huge rub to Rhea Ripley if she did. And I would love to see that. I don't want to see Charlotte with the NXT belt, you know, because you sit there and, what, is she going to move down? She's, what, a 12 or 10-time champion already? Like, is she going to move down to NXT now? I just, to me, that doesn't make sense. Next match we have, okay, I already told you, Balor-Gargano, fantastic match. This match, potentially match of the night, too. Match one, match two, or A, B, however you want to put it. It's within inches of each other. It was about a 20-minute match. This one is a 4.5 out of 5, like a guaranteed 4.5 out of 5. The Broserweights versus the Undisputed Era. Now, I'm going to lead into this by saying my prediction, Undisputed Era wins. And the Broserweights, maybe some dissension, which causes them to lose. Now, I feel that it was teased. There was a possibility that there would maybe some imploding, but there wasn't. The Broserweights end up picking up the win. We've got brand new champions. Undisputed Era is out, like I said, 20 minutes. But here's what I'll say about this match. Again, I'm not going to go into this match very much because it is a must-watch match. And if you listen to the show, I don't really give you play-by-play. I personally don't like listening to play-by-play wrestling unless I'm watching it. So for me, that wouldn't sell. But in this match, the Undisputed Era to me on TV in the last, I want to say about 6 weeks, when they've been on, which they probably had about 3 to 4 matches, they've looked so-so. They've been okay. They haven't been the Undisputed Era that you see on TakeOvers. when it came to the TakeOver Blackpool, you know, and you had Undisputed Era versus Imperium. I thought that was fantastic. But again, you know, that's a four-type situation. Whereas this is just a tag team. And like I said, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fischer, fantastic. I think they put on great matches, especially at TakeOvers. And this one did not disappoint, like I said. The closing stretch in this, where, to me, it was anybody's game, was absolutely fantastic. The last about 4 minutes of this were, you know, you were on the edge of your seat. You didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, you know, the Broserweights even countered the high-low, which never happens. The Bro to Sleep was hit. You know, it was great. It was a great match. It's definitely one to see. It's one I'm going to rewatch today. I'm going to watch Balor and Gargano versus and the Broserweights versus Undisputed Era. I'm going to watch both of those again today, just because I think they're fantastic matches, potentially NXT matches that will be better than any matches the rest of the year. You know, unless we get a great one from Ciampa. There was a lot of, you know, to me this was a very sound tag team match. I think all four of them delivered beyond belief. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, I feel, get a bad rap sometimes because they are just a tag team. And if you think about it, you know, you don't really think of those guys as single wrestlers, whereas you got Pete Dunne, who is a UK champion. You got Matt Riddle, who's, you know, who is being built up as a fantastic NXT wrestler, and so now they're tag team champs. Whereas, you know, you got Roddy Strong, who can be by himself. You got Adam Cole, who can be by himself. So if you look at the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, like I said, get a bad rap sometimes, because I feel like they're literally just tag team wrestlers. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you, that's how I look at them. But the tag team wrestling that they put, it's so fluid, so together. If they could produce, and obviously they don't face guys like the Broserweights every day or every week, but if you put this momentum and effort in every single tag match, I mean, you know, I don't feel the tag team division is very strong in NXT, and that's why you got the Broserweights in there, because I just don't feel like they've got a lot of teams. It's not the days with the Revival, with DIY, with, you know, guys like that. It's a little bit weaker. They took all those teams up to the main roster, and it's just been, you know, so, and the Authors of Pain aren't used, the Revival, or I don't know, jokes, do they resign, who knows. But this was absolutely fantastic. Hats off to all four of these guys. Undisputed Era, fantastic. Long reigning champions, deservedly so as well. But we have the reign of the Broserweights has begun. Final match on the card is your NXT championship match. It is Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole. This match was a very long match. It was like probably 35-40 minutes. It was really, really long. You know, there was, to me, this match was like a 3.5 out of 5. I feel bad actually even rating it this low, to be honest, because it told a story. It was fantastic. But I feel it was too long of a match. I mean, 35 minutes-ish, something around 35 minutes is a long time. And with some of the other matches that, you know, people were super invested in the Gargano-Balor match, and I think time was perfect on that. I think they couldn't have gone any longer. And if it was shorter, it would have fallen short of what that match should have been. But this one, I think, honestly, could have been 5 to 10 minutes less. I thought that the finish was a little overbooked in the sense of so many kickouts of spectacular moves, which, again, is one of those things that he produces that indie style feel that NXT has a lot. You know, the Panama Sunrise on the floor, you know, should have ended pretty much anybody. You know, he got hit with the Widow's Bell, or Willow's Bell, I'm sorry, with Ciampa, and the fairy tale ending connecting, and Cole kicks out. It was so much going on. It was just move for move for move for move. It was super, like I said, I kind of had that indie feel, super indie. But I just think there was so much going on towards the end where it kind of like just took away from how good this match could have been. Especially that Panama Sunrise on the outside was absolutely insane. Adam Cole did get the win. Gargano came out towards the end. there was, you know, Ciampa hits the fairy tale ending, but there's no ref. Gargano came out to rally him, but took the title away from him and laid him out where Cole covers for the win. So, you know, you have the Gargano heel turn, which I think fits with the loss. Had he beat Finn Balor, I just don't see that this is a move that's made. But following that loss, I think it's big. Now, my question is, does it set up a triple threat match or a fatal four-way like we discussed earlier? Cole, Balor, Gargano, Ciampa, for a big payoff at WrestleMania weekend. I mean, I don't know if it does. Like I said, I like Gargano, I like Ciampa, like Cole, like Balor. Like, it's almost like a crowded main event scene up here in NXT. So what stood out match-wise? Of course, you had Balor, Gargano. I said that 4.25 to 4.5. Broserweights versus Undisputed Era, like I said, about 4.5 out of 5 on both of those. So both of those matches are matches I want to watch. I would love to rewatch Cole Ciampa. I just feel that the time it took to, not even the time it took in the match, but just like the excess time of move for move for move, just, you know, back and forth, to me was a little too much. Took away from the main portion of what that match was. Promos and stuff that happened, you know, we have a, what is it, TakeOver Dublin on April 26th. So towards the end of April, you've got another TakeOver for NXT UK. Will I cover that? Not sure. I covered Blackpool strictly because it was, you know, it related to some NXT, you know. Same thing with the Worlds Collide. Obviously, that was an NXT. NXT UK for Dublin, I'm not sure. But fantastic night of wrestling tonight for TakeOver Portland. Numerous matches, like I said, nothing under 3.5. Numerous matches to rewatch for me. There's mainly two of them. Even the Keith Lee match, I would give it another chance to watch it. Because it wasn't too long. A lot of big moves, two big time guys. Just something I thought was fantastic. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo with any questions, comments, concerns. Anything you have to say about the show, positive, negative, I don't care. I just want to talk to you. Would love to be able to bring up any questions, comments on the next show. Next show will be on the 19th, which is 2 days now, but 3 days from this event. We've got another live show. Don't know what's going to be on there. Obviously, we'll have new champs on there. I know you've got the, was it Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream? Should be quite entertaining. Looking forward to that. And I will talk to you guys then. Appreciate it.